After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharashtra got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, "O unfortunate Bharat, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerity undergone by this earth planet. You did the earth severe penances. The footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious, and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost well. By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for Brahmanas who desire heavenly plans for liberation to execute sacrifices and demigods." Wherefore, it is said that when a person becomes overly involved in loving affairs, he forgets himself as well as others, he forgets how to act and how to speak. It is said that once the man's son was blind since birth, the father, out of staunch affection for the child, called him Padmalochan, or Lotus Eye. This is a situation arising from blind love. Bharat Maharaj gradually fell into this condition due to his material love for the deer. It is said in the Smriti Shastra, Jasmin Deshe Mrigas Krishnas Tasmin Dhanaman Ivodata. That tract of land where the footprints of a black deer can be seen is to be understood as a suitable place to execute religious rituals. Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman. Seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, "Can it be that the moon, who is so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it is strayed from home and has become motherless? This moon has given the deer shelter near itself, just to protect it from the fearful attacks of a lion." After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, "The dearest son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of the separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness." Wherefore, according to Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling his water. In this way, the fever subsides. Although Bharat Maharaj was very aggrieved due to the separation of the so-called sun, the deer, he thought that the moon was splashing gargled water on him from his mouth, and that this water would subdue his high fever, which is raging due to separation from the deer. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, in this way Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by uncontrolled desire, which was manifest in the form of the deer. Due to the fruit of results of his past deeds, he fell down for mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruit of activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association with his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncomfortable affection, uncontrolled affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him. Purport. As we'll explain in later verses, Bharat Maharaj at the time of death will be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction for a deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Samhita, it is said, Karmani Nirdahati Kingicha Bhakti Bhajna. For those engaged in devotional service, Bhakti Bhajna, the result of past misdeeds are indemnified. According to this, Bharat Maharaj cannot be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharat purposely became over addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharat Maharaj was awarded the body of a deer, he did not forget what had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get it with a deer body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a Brahmana body in the next life. It is said with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotees like Goswamis live in Vrindavan, who purposely commit some sinful activity, are born in the bodies of dogs, monkeys, and tortoises in that holy land. Thus, they take on these lower life forms for a short while, and after they give up those animal bodies, they are again promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. So, these verses have shown the attraction that Bharat had for the deer, such that he made all sorts of statements which are quite illogical, but were expressed because of that attraction for the deer. And then we see here that conclusion is given how due to some past influence he made this great mistake, and ultimately he became a deer in his next lifetime. So at the same time, we understand that through the process of bhakti we destroy all karma. So the question is asked, did Bharat Maharaj get karma because he became a deer? So normally, because of some sinful activity, a person gets an animal body. In this case, of course, it was because Bharat Maharaj was thinking of a deer and was very attached to a deer that he got that body. But we see it was not normal karma, because in that body of a deer, he could remember his past life. And it's described later how the deer was very austere and didn't become attracted to eating or anything, and is only waiting to get out of that body. So what appears to be karma was not exactly like karma. It was something like karma, because he got some reaction for his attachment. At the same time, it was a little different, because he maintained his human consciousness in that body, and even in his next body, he continued with his previous consciousness. So, therefore, it was some special arrangement of the Lord. So this happens if bhakti destroys all karma, but a person seems to get some strange results that look like karma, it must be concluded that those are not karma, that there's some other arrangement of the Lord. In the case of Nityasiddha devotees like the Pandavas, they also seem to cop to suffer, and they get banished and exiled for so many years in the forest and whatever, and they think, oh, that's karma. But no, that's not karma. That's also some arrangement of the Supreme Lord, because it serves a particular purpose in his pastimes. But in this case, of course, Bharat was a sadhaka, not a Nityasiddha, and he is practicing. So we may also think maybe he has some residual karmas in hand. That is not the case, as I said, because he got some very special conditions even as a deer. So what happens is that often, instead of karma, we have the Lord making arrangements for these devotees who are not Nityasiddhas, but who are on the path of bhakti and have already destroyed all karmas. So what may appear to be karma actually is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Karma, of course, also was an arrangement of the Supreme Lord, but indirectly, he makes the law of karma, and that simply is fulfilled. But in this case, the Lord personally makes some arrangements for particular devotees. So that is not the law of karma working. It is the Lord acting in this particular way. So this may be, of course, that he was on the bhava stage. And even a person on the prema stage may seem to be afflicted by karma. He may suffer, he may get sick, he may have accidents, even if he has prema. So how can he have accidents? Because he's destroyed all of his karma. So accidents and sickness should be due to karma. So how does he get these things? So the answer there, that even for a devotee who has prema and has absolutely destroyed all reactions to everything and has no impurity at all, even he carries a pattern like karma because of the Lord's arrangement. So we can ask, well, why does the Lord do that? Does he like to punish his devotees by giving them appearance of karma? No, but just to show that everybody in the world suffers karma, he gives a pattern like karma even for these devotees on the highest level. So therefore there's a pattern that looks like karma even for devotees who are on the level of prema, who have destroyed all their karmas and are not affected in any way. Of course, the devotees themselves don't consider this, they're not bothered by these particular effects because they're completely detached from their material bodies. They have no attachment at all, so suffering is concerning, and karma, etc., is concerning this material body. So the devotees are not attached to that, so they take no, it's not a problem for them. So, some pattern will remain there, even for devotees who are on the highest level. What to speak of devotees who are on a lesser level. So, we find even in the case of Achamila, who was not a devotee, but by chanting the name of the Lord in Namavas without offense, even once, he destroyed all of his karmas. But after that, for many years, he still lived with the prostitute, and he had many children. And it looked like he was still in the material world, afflicted by karmas, with material desires, etc. So, what happened to him if he had destroyed all of his karmas? So again, the answer is given, yes, karmas were all destroyed. But, again, the Lord kept a pattern there. And though he did activities after that point, those activities did not produce further karmas in the material world. So that, for that reason, the Yamadutas couldn't touch him. Because he didn't have any karmas. And Yamadutas could only attack you if you've got karma. They didn't have any karmas. But it appeared he had karmas. From the point he started chanting the name of Narayan to his death. It looked like there were some karmas there, whatever, but there were not. So that is the power of the name of the Lord, even the name of Narayan, let's speak of Krishna's name. And even if it is not done with bhakti, it is done only in avas, but without offense, that it can do this, it can destroy all your karmas. But there may be an appearance of karmas even after that point. for these devotees, of course, may not be so surprising for Prem Bhaktas, and I should have a pattern. So if it is therefore the Prem Bhaktas, the Lord keeps some pattern there. But what to speak of lesser devotees or persons like Ajivan, who wasn't even a devotee? Yes, the pattern remains there. So in this way, the sometimes the power of the name is hidden in this way. It doesn't look like the name had effect, and we say it still has karma, but actually it isn't. There's no karma there, but there's an appearance of karma. So in this way, the name of the Lord hides its power sometimes. So that is the explanation there for that. So when the statements come in the scriptures that the name destroys all karmas, or the process of bhakti destroys all karmas, we should not think, oh, that happens, but it's not in all cases. Because if we do that, then we commit another offense against the holy name. That is to think that the powers of the holy name are exaggeration. Mm-hmm. They're not real, but they're exaggerated powers, imaginary powers, or whatever. So, we should not think that. But the pattern is kept there, so it looks as if there's still karmas affecting the person. So that is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord and the holy name and the process of bhakti to hide its glories to some extent, and to show that for people in the material world, everyone has to suffer their karma. So in this way, we should understand that the process of bhakti is very special, and even prior to bhakti and Navabhas stage, chanting the name can have very great effects and cause a lot of destruction of karmas, and complete destruction of karmas, past, present, and future for an individual. So the statements of scripture are not an exaggeration in regards to the powers of the Lord's name and the powers of bhakti. There's no exaggeration there. So we should not think that sometimes it may happen, sometimes it doesn't happen, etc. The power of the name is stated in the scriptures, and we should not think that this in any way is conditional or whatever. The only condition, as I said, was if aparada is there, then we don't get the same effect. So the effect is slower, it is not immediate. And therefore, if there is aparada, the process of bhakti goes through many stages, like anarjana, riti, nishtha, shakti, and bhava, and prema, and goes through that type of arrangement. If there is no aparadas, then the process of bhakti will go very quickly, and may not, those stages may not manifest in that particular order. So this is the conclusion of the Goswamis concerning this matter of power of bhakti and the holy name. So Bharat here was appeared to have mistakes. It looks like karma, whatever. But then again, we understand that bhakti destroys karma, so how can you have karma? And as I mentioned previously, by the stage of the by the end of a sakti stage before bhava, karmas are all destroyed. So then how can you have karma at this stage? So then it looks like an appearance of karma that he was still influenced, but he wasn't. And the other point is that aparadas are not, the effect of aparadas is not destroyed even in bhava stage, so therefore in bhava stage these effects of aparadas can influence the person, cause them to do some irregular activities. So that was the case of Bharat. In any case, there was no karmic reaction, and therefore everything we say is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So it's becoming a deer and whatever. That is the Lord's arrangement. It's not under the law of karma. So due to his fall down, he was not subjected to karma again. Rather, he was simply operating under the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Oh, it doesn't matter. Usually the devotee will think, yes, due to my karmas I'm suffering, because he takes a position of humility and lowness, and he considers himself very fallen, so therefore he attributes everything to his karmas. At the same time, he understands the karmas are his own cause. He has caused the karmas, so therefore he doesn't blame the Lord. and he doesn't stop the process of bhakti. He continues the process of bhakti. By doing so, he gains the Lord's mercy. Well, if you have trouble doing it, how can you do it to maximum extent if you can't do it? It's a little bit of a problem. If you want to do Vedic rituals, it's impossible to do in Kali Yuga. Even the best of Brahmins cannot do it. I think they did the last sacrifice. It wasn't a horse sacrifice. It was some sort of sacrifice about 20 years ago in Kerala with Brahmins. And it took them months and months to prepare the sacrificial pit and carry out all the ceremonies and chant all the Vedic mantras and do whatever. And they carried out the whole ritual. There was hundreds of Brahmins there. And they did this particular sacrifice. But it's probably the last time it'll be performed in Kali Yuga, because there's no more Brahmins. Their children have gone off and they're working somewhere and they're not going to do this anymore. And nobody knows the rituals, how to do them anymore. So those sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature are complicated things. And Kali Yuga people cannot do. So it is impossible to do those things. So we cannot follow everything in the Vedas. All we can do is take the conclusion of the Vedas, which is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. That's all. And that is exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. You just surrender unto me. Forget all these other processes. And of course, in Kali Yuga, what is the way of surrendering is to chant the name of the Lord. That's all. That becomes simple.
Lord took care of Varuna after his fall down.
Yeah. So that was an arrangement. Whatever happened was an arrangement of the Lord. So his being in a body of a deer, that was the arrangement of the Lord, because he arranged that his consciousness was still there and he could remember his previous life. And normally that doesn't happen. If you become a dog, you're a dog, and you don't remember him as somebody else. So that's the normal karma. This was not normal. It was different.
Right, so influence of the previous desires, material inclination and aparada, how is it different? For example, this affection of Varuna for deer, it is not because of material desire, but because of the effect of an aparada.
Yeah, well, the effect of the aparada was it caused some obstacle in his progress, so therefore it caused some residual desire to remain, and therefore that caused him to become attached to the deer.
Can you
say
the soul in the baby deer, like if you have associated with the heart, that's
what
that? Maybe deer was lucky enough to have some association with Maharaj.
Well, that's a good fortune for the deer, I suppose, yeah. Gets prasadam and whatever, so advances.
This shows animals know that, even though it has taken place for next thing by Maharaj, he just left before getting it, or just left.
Well, that's the nature of animals, they wander around. Then he died suddenly like that, so the deer didn't know that, but he was going to die. But the animals simply wander around. My previous was that the senses are like wild animals, and you tame an animal and you get him out of the cage and he runs away. So same with the senses. The senses seem to be under control, and you let them loose, then they go out of control again.
And then this happens to modern families also. When the children die, the parents also get so much angry. The day even comes to say, my son or
daughter. Yeah, material attachments are there. So people become very disturbed. Not just that, so many things, so many attachments are there in the material world. This is the cause of everybody's problems. Everybody's attached. It causes problems everywhere. We look at anything in the material world, any problem that you can see is caused by attachment. You look in the newspaper, all those problems and cause attachment. One thing or the other, it's money, it's property, it's country, it's whatever, position, something, family members, whatever. It's all due to attachment. Well, the dog was fed prasad by Mahaprabhu and he went to Vaikuntha. No, special mercy. Like Putana out in the spiritual world. demon, human body.
Why do you think of running so long-lasting?
This is the nature of things. It's worse than karma, in other words.
So, Maharaj, the reaction to the apraja, once the reaction manifests within, the effect of apraja is over. Like in case of Arjuna.
What about?
Because of some previous apraja, the reaction came in this form.
Yeah.
So, once this reaction is over, which means the effect of apraja is now over.
Yeah.
Can what the effect of karma and effect of apraja coexist together?
Yeah. No. One can do sinful activities plus aparads, and then one can get the effects of both.
Nandra Sri Shashikant Bhagavan Ki, Sonat Jan Maharaj Ki, Jivan Vesitakti Om Sampana Prabhupada Ki, Agop Prabhupada Ki.
Okay.